Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians in your Bible, chapter number 15. Usually we think of Easter Sunday service being out of one of the Gospels, but 1 Corinthians 15 has much to say about the resurrection of our Lord. And I'm glad that we have verses that will enlighten us and help us and show us the importance of this event that took place. It's not the imaginary story that someone would tell, but this is an actual event that took place. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 gives evidences and proofs of the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let's begin reading in verse number 1. And we'll look in these next few verses. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved, if ye keep the memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I was the least of the apostles, and I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins, and they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. The Apostle Paul here gives the statements concerning the resurrection. He gives us the gospel in a nutshell. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are here this morning remembering that event that took place over 2,000 years ago, where they went to the tomb early in the morning and they found it empty. Years ago, a few years back, someone said they'd found the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ and they'd tested the bones and they'd said it was a lie. Well, the whole thing was a lie, because you're not going to go to the tomb of the Lord and find any bones. He rose again. He came forth victorious. He's alive forevermore. The scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 1 says, in the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn toward the first day of the week that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary had to see the tomb. Early in the morning, they came. Mark chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, and the Sabbath was past. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, and brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning of the first day of the week, they came to the tomb at the rising of the sun. That's where we get the tradition of the sunrise service. They came at the rising of the sun. But the thing that took place, Jesus did not come forth victorious out of the grave at sunrise. He was already gone. And so this morning, we realize that upon this first day of the week, we call it Sunday. The Bible calls it the Lord's Day. We come to remember what happened that day when Jesus came forth from the tomb. Jesus died on the cross. He was raised from the dead. And I'm glad, thank God, the Bible says he is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, we're living our life and we have been very acquainted here lately in families and church members and people that we know. We're very well acquainted with this subject of passing away, dying, and going home. As a child of God, we have a place far better than what we have here. And it's all because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior. And I'm glad when we leave this world that we're going home and we do not go to a place of darkness, but we go to a place of light. And this morning, I want us to deal with the subject of the resurrection, showing us that we can go home in the light. We have a place prepared for us. We have a place that he has gone to prepare for us, that where he is, the Bible says, there we may be also. And so I want us to look this morning just a little bit at this portion of the scripture here in 1 Corinthians 15 that deals with us and the resurrection, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:34 says, "Who is he that condemneth? Shall Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us?" So Jesus Christ lived on this earth. We know the story of his birth. In Sunday school, we are in Luke chapter, the first part of Luke, and gives us the birth of John the Baptist, gives us the birth of Jesus Christ. So we are well acquainted with his birth. You read the Gospels, you become very well acquainted with the walking and the teaching and the dealings that Christ had with his disciples personally, and then the dealings that he had with the multitudes that followed after him. And we are acquainted with his birth and his life. You read the Gospels, you'll find where the account given that he was crucified on the cross of Calvary. That's his death. And we commemorate that. We remember that. That's a part of the message that we have to give to the world to let them know that there is a better place. There's a place called heaven. And then we are acquainting ourselves again with the subject of the resurrection this morning. This is the foundational truth, the gospel. This is the foundation of everything that we believe. If the gospel fails, if the gospel falls, then Paul says here, if we have just these minor things, then we're of all men most miserable. If the Lord didn't raise from the dead, he says our faith is in vain. That means our faith is empty. That means it has nothing of substance to it. But I'm glad this morning I can declare to you that he arose from the dead. I'm glad I can declare that he is alive and alive never to die again, alive forevermore. I want us to notice, first of all, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 3, Paul says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Christ's death was not an accident. Now, I hear a lot of things, and I would recommend to you that are believers, when you get around a quote-unquote a religious holiday, just don't listen to the TV shows. Just don't listen to them, because they do not have the truth. I don't know, either maybe yesterday or might even be today, on Fox, they're showing the show Killing Jesus. And sorry, Mr. O'Reilly, he doesn't even know the Lord. His own testimony, he does not know the Lord that we talk about, and yet he writes a book about killing Jesus. It has mixed so many things in it that is not true. And so when you get to Easter, Christmas, all the holidays, and you want to watch your show, just consider that entertainment but not truth. Because most of the time they do not give you the total truth, some story of what the Scripture says. But I can tell you this morning that this book here will give you complete truth. It'll give you final authority truth. It'll give you everything that there is to know, that we need to know, concerning how that we can get from this place called earth to that place called heaven. My TV doesn't do that, but my Bible does. My friends do not give me those things, but my Lord, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, He does give me those things. So Paul says here, I delivered unto you, and you received it. That first verse, first couple of verses there in chapter 1, Paul says, I declared unto you the gospel. He says, I preached it, you received it, you stand by it, and verse 2 says, you're saved by it. Thank God this morning we are saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are saved by the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the death of our Lord was not an accident. It was not something that just happened by accident. He didn't accidentally run into the wrong crowd and they crucify him. For my Bible tells me, if you can look it up, but you can find in Revelation chapter number 13 and verse number 8 that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was planned by God the Father long before the world ever began. Before God said, let there be light, the Scripture says that His Son was as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And so it wasn't an afterthought with God. It wasn't an accident with God, because it was well planned by our Lord. His death was predicted. The first prediction of the death of Jesus Christ is found in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3 and verse number 15. You don't see the name Jesus. You don't see the name Son of God. But we find there is a seed there that is going to destroy the head and the life and the ability of the devil to do anything against us. And we know that is the Lord. And it's called the seed of the woman. That's the first prediction of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And so we find that His death was planned. His death was predicted. And then in many of the chapters of the Old Testament, in the books of Isaiah and the book of Psalms, you find there are many prophecies of His death. Isaiah 53, that great message that Isaiah gives us says, for we all like sheep have gone astray, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the iniquity of us all was placed upon Him. That's a prediction of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ some 500 to 600 years before He was born. You turn to Psalm number 22, you'll find some of the same words there that you find in the Gospels concerning the death of our Lord. And so we find that His death was planned. It's not an afterthought. It's not an accident. It was a planned death that He would come and die for the sins of mankind. When Adam and Eve sinned, it didn't take God by surprise, nor did it take Him by shock. He knew. When I was born, God knew where I was. When you were born, God knew who you were. When Jeremiah was born, God says, this is what I'm going to do with him. Before he's ever born, God says he's going to be my prophet. And I think God knows all about us that there is to know. And if He knows that about me, you can be sure He knows that about Himself and His Son. And so His death was planned, it was predicted, it was prophesied, and then it was fulfilled in the New Testament. And so Jesus is the realization of all the biblical promises and prophecies, that the death of Jesus Christ is that pivotal thing in this world that brought to light that I'm a sinner. He's that sacrifice. He's that sacrificial lamb that is predicted in the Old Testament, that the lamb is the shedding of blood will take away the sin. And so we find in the Old Testament, the lamb's blood covered the sins. But in the New Testament, the Lamb's blood, Jesus Christ, took away my sin. Thank God I have been set free. And when He arose from the dead, He sealed our pardon. The Old Testament gives us some pictures and some types of what the Lord would do. It is implied in the life of Jonah. We know the story of Jonah. Our kids know the story of Jonah and the whale, and we tell them that, and how that Jonah ran from God. God caught him. God cast him into the sea, and the great fish swallowed him up, and he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish, the belly of a whale. And scientists said, yeah, that's impossible. Well, it might be impossible to them, but it's not impossible with God. And so we find that the whole thing about the Lord, the 3 days and three nights, he come to the New Testament, the Lord refers back to Jonah. Now, if my Lord can refer to Jonah, that means Jonah existed. Yeah. If my Lord can say, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, speaking of his burial. But just as Jonah was cast upon dry ground, Jesus Christ came forth. And that life of Jonah, the typology there is so, so great. It is implied when Abraham and Isaac goes up the mountain, Abraham takes his servants with him and his friends with him, and he leaves them at a certain point, and he said, the lad and I, we're going to go up there, but we will return. You know how many days' journey they took? They took a three-day journey. And when they came back, Isaac was alive. Now, Abraham took him up the mountain. God said, you're going to sacrifice him. Abraham took the fire. Abraham took the wood. And on the way up the mountainside, Isaac said, Father, here's the fire, here's the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham makes that wonderful statement. He says, God himself shall provide the lamb. And God did provide that himself, he being the Lamb of God. And there upon that mountain, Abraham had him put upon the altar. He was ready to slay him. The scripture says that Abraham had the knife already drawn to kill his own son. And by the way, God says, thine only son. Isaac is the only son that God recognized. And wasn't that wild man Ishmael, that we're still seeing the wildness of Ishmael. It wasn't that son. That's the son of the flesh. But the son of the work of God, the Holy Spirit, came upon Sarah when she was beyond years of having children. Abraham, beyond years of producing a seed. Isaac is born in a miraculous way, representing the miracle birth of our Lord. They go up there, and Abraham has the knife ready to kill him. And God stays his hand. And God said, now, Abraham, I know that you'll do what I ask you to do. God said, Abraham, I know you'll do it. Man draws a dagger on his son, ready to kill him. He's going to do anything else God asks him to do. And you know what Abraham says? The book of Hebrews tells us that Abraham believed God so much that if God permitted him to kill his son Isaac, that God would do what? Raise him from the dead. In typology, Isaac is the Lord Jesus Christ. In reality, God the Father provided himself. We are Trinitarians. We believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I don't know how to explain it. I just believe it. And we find that God smiles upon this world. He sends his Son, and Jesus dies for the sins of mankind. And so here we find that one of these days, we're going to leave this world, but thank God I'm going to a place of light because Jesus died for me, and he arose again victorious over death, over the grave, and over the pangs of hell. The second thing that we know that we will go home in the light or not go home in the dark is because of the testimony of those that saw him. In these verses that we read this morning, it says in verse number 5 that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. The word Cephas there, that's Simon Peter. He was saw of Peter. You can read the account of that in the Gospels. They run. He and John run to the sepulchre, and they want to see where Jesus is buried, but the Lord's not there. He's rose from the dead. He's seen After that, the Lord presents himself to Peter. Then he presents himself to the 12. And later on says to all the apostles. In verse number 6, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren. This is the resurrected Lord. This is that man that had just a week before the crucifixion, they threw down their palm leaves and they said, Hosanna, glory to God, the King has arrived. And just a few days later, they crucify him. Popular opinion don't mean a whole lot. You can be popular today and you can be stoned tomorrow. And so here he comes in and they present him as a king. Then they crucify him. But after the resurrection, he is seen of the Apostle Peter, the disciples, and above 500 brethren. That's the resurrected Lord. Paul says here when he writes the book of Corinthians in about 60 A.D., about 30 years after the death of the Lord, Paul writes these words. He says, "And the great whom the greater part remain unto this to present." Paul says, I can go back and find some of them that are still living that saw the Lord. Now, some of them have died, but the greater part of that crowd, that 500 that saw him, Paul said, they're still with us. So there's the testimony of the saints. Paul goes on. After that, he was seen of James. That's his half-brother. Then he says, again, all the apostles. In verse number 8, and last of all, Paul says, I'm like one born out of step. I wasn't born when the rest of them were born. I didn't physically touch the Lord. I didn't physically know him. But Paul says, last of all, he was seen of me. When did that happen? You go to the book of Acts, chapter number 9. And the Lord appears, Jesus Christ. And he says, Lord, who are you? And they're on the road to Damascus. The Apostle Paul encounters Jesus Christ. It made a change in his life. I'll tell you what. You can sign a card and join a church and it won't change your life. You can go through the baptismal waters and it will not change your life. But when you meet God, when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll change you. Paul went from Saul went from a persecutor to Paul the preacher. Paul said, last of all, he was seen of me. And there he remembers, and Paul gives testimony many times of that Damascus Road experience. He says he was born out of due time. He said, but I saw him, and I'm part of the testimony of believers. He says, verse number 9, he says, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet or worthy to be called an apostle. Why is that, Paul? Why are you not worthy? We look at Paul's, he wrote most of the New Testament. And here he's making testimony. He said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. Why is that? He answers it right there, last part of that verse. He said, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul had papers in hand when he left Jerusalem to go to Damascus. And he went with the purpose to destroy Christians. He had orders that he could stone them. He could bring them back, put them in prison. He could do just about anything he wanted to do. But he met the Lord. Paul says, I saw him last. I'm not worthy because I persecuted. I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter our past. Doesn't matter what we used to do. Doesn't matter what we used to be. Doesn't matter where we used to go. When we meet the Lord, it changes our life. Changes our thoughts. That which we used to hate, now we love it. That which we used to love, we say, I don't need that anymore. You know why? You've met the Lord. You don't meet the baby in a manger. You don't meet the teacher on the hillside. You don't meet the miracle worker that brought Lazarus, but you do meet a Savior. You meet that one that was born, he lived, he died. But Paul says, if that's all we have, if all we have is hope in Christ, and that's it, we are of all men most miserable. You know, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, those songs say. But our hope is built on this, which we celebrate every Lord's Day, should be a resurrection celebration. But what we're doing this morning, and we've met together on what the world calls Easter. I personally don't believe that ought to even be called Easter. It's more of a pagan name than anything else, even though the word Easter is in the Scripture, has nothing to do with what we celebrate. But because everybody else says it, we say it. But really, what we celebrate this morning is resurrection. That's the bottom line, that's the foundation that we build upon. And thank God this morning, I can read the Scripture, and I can hear the testimonies, I can hear those that have met the Lord. What kind of witness is the best witness? Eyewitness. You go to the court of law, and you say, well, this person said that. They said, that doesn't matter, that's hearsay. You can change that any way you want to. But if you say, but I saw him. I heard it. I saw it. That testimony becomes very, very real. And Paul says, I preached the gospel that he died and buried and rose again. And here's those that tell us that it happened, just like I said. I even saw him. I should not have. But by his grace, he permitted me to see him. Thank God I can go home in the daylight. I can go home, don't have to worry about the darkness of eternity. We know we can go home in the light because of the testimonies of sinners that have been changed. We don't have to read the account in Corinthians. I could go around this auditorium this morning and I could call on different ones. Give me your testimony, what the Lord did for you. Has your life changed? Sure it has. I've heard some of your testimonies. What you were, how you lived, and now it's changed. Thank God for the resurrection. Thank God for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm least of the apostles. But verse 10, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul realized that his life was what it was because of what Christ had done for him. Let me ask you this morning. I don't want to embarrass anybody and call names. I'll just say it broad to everybody. Where would you be this morning if you had never met Jesus Christ? Oh, I don't know, preacher. Oh, we may not know for sure. But if we'd never met the Lord, I guarantee you one place we wouldn't be, that'd be right here. Oh, I've heard people say, if I hadn't gotten saved, I'd probably be dead and in hell. Very possible. So that's the testimonies of sinners right now that have been changed. I'm glad for the account that Paul gives us of those 2,000 years ago. Well, I'll tell you what. Paul said there's some that saw him there that's still living. Well, we've seen him by eye of faith, and he's changed our life. He's made us a new creature. He's given us new life. Paul sort of de-escalated who he was. Paul was a very brilliant man. He wasn't some fly-by-night, didn't know anything. Paul was educated under the teaching of one of the most renowned teachers of his day, Gamaliel. So Paul knew the Old Testament. He said, I was religious. Well, a lot of people fall in that category, don't they? Paul says, I was a Pharisee. That was the strongest religion of the Jews of that day. They had the Pharisees and they had the Sadducees. Those are two denominations. That's what we'd call it. One was very conservative. One was very liberal. Well, that's been around a long time, hasn't it? The Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the miracles. They're very liberal. The Pharisees, they were so fundamentally conservative and everything. You just had to do everything the way they said you had to do it, because they said they had it right. A lot of Baptists hit that place. But neither one of them did any good. Paul said, I was a Pharisee. Paul goes further than that. He says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He said, I was top dog. No wonder Paul said, I'm nothing, when he met the Lord. And so, this morning, we can be assured of heaven because of what Christ did for us, the testimony of saints in days gone by, and the testimony of saints even today. The closer we get to the Lord, the more sure we become of heaven. The more sure we know that he's alive. It doesn't matter what the world community says. This book here tells me he's alive. The closer we get to God, the more he does for us. Because Jesus is alive, I can be assured that there is a place called heaven. It's not an imaginary story. It's not something out there in the vast unknown that we just float around. Heaven's a real place. Heaven's more real than this wood I'm beating on. And when we see the Lord and what he did for us, we can be assured of heaven. Because Jesus is alive, I can be sure of salvation. He presented it to us. Whosoever will, let him come. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. And so because Jesus is alive, I can be assured of salvation. Because Jesus is alive, I can know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I don't have to hope so, maybe so, think so, try to, going to heaven. I can be assured that he's waiting for us. You see, when in the book of Acts, there's a man by the name of Stephen. He was a preacher. And they hated Stephen just like they hated the Lord, because he preached the same thing. And by the way, if we preach the same thing that the Lord preaches, the world still will hate you. The problem with our world today, we've got too much like the world, therefore they don't hate us. And so Stephen was a preacher, and they stoned him. They stoned him till he died. And Stephen had the same heart that Jesus had on the cross of Calvary. He said, forgive them, they know not what they do. Some of the same words that Jesus said from the cross. And the Bible says when Stephen is getting ready to die, he was drawing his last breath, and the scripture says that he makes the statement that he sees Jesus standing. You know why he's standing? He's welcoming him home. Many times we see Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. But Stephen says, I see him. He's not seated. He's standing. You know what we do when folks come in a room? We stand and greet them. And I believe that's exactly what Jesus was doing for Stephen. He contended for the faith. He preached the message of God. The world hated him and stoned him. And Jesus says, welcome home. That's because Jesus is alive. Because Jesus is alive this morning, I can invite everybody I meet. You can go with me. I have a gospel. I have a message. You that are saved this morning, those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are believers, we have a message. It's because he's alive we can tell that story to the world. The world around us and the world that's beyond us, we can tell them the old, old story. Because Jesus is alive, no one has to go to hell. Isn't that great? People go because they desire. Because they reject. They say, I don't want that. I don't need that. I can do it my way. We can do it our way, but we'll fail. But because he's alive, I can tell people, you can go to heaven. That's what preaching is all about. Oh yeah, the proof is plenteous. No doubt that Jesus lived, he died, and he is alive. And we celebrate this morning when they went, the Bible says, before the rising of the sun in the darkness, they found no Lord. I can go now, no darkness, but I'm in his light, and one day I'll meet him. What about you? Are you sure? No, for sure, going to heaven. I close with this little illustrated story. There was a young boy, we'll call him Jonathan or Joe, whatever you want to put a name there for him. On his 10th birthday, his mother and dad had promised him that he could get a puppy. I believe every boy needs a puppy. Well, they promised him, and girls too, they promised him a puppy. So he got to that 10th birthday, and he goes down and has a very hard time picking out, because there's a dozen little dogs there. They all look pretty good. And so he looks and he pets and he tries to make up his mind. Had a lot of candidates to be his puppy. Finally, he decides on one little shaggy, maybe not as pretty as some of the others, little shaggy pup that was wagging his tail furiously. You've seen those. Their whole back end just wiggles. And his dad said, son, why did you pick that particular dog? Why that one? He just simply explained. He said, I want the one that has a happy ending. You know, this morning, every one of us that are saved, we have a happy ending. We have a life before us. Death does not end it for the child of God. We had the memorial service the other day for Brother Mike Yarbrough and others, Sharon's brother passing, and others that we've had funerals here time and time again, and we'll have more. But that's not the end of the story. That's not all of it. We have a happy ending. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Because one day he was buried and he arose again. And he's alive forevermore. Let's stand together this morning.